Your questions about enrolling in Obamacare answered by experts. The enrollment period for taking part in one of the health care exchanges created by the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, just opened yesterday. People who use one of the plans on the health care exchange have between now and February 15th to either sign up or change their plan. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll learn what to consider when enrolling, how to figure out if your coverage meets your needs, whether you'll qualify for a subsidy, and if so, how much, who might face a penalty for not being insured, and what changes there have been in the plans available to Maine people. Maine Calling aims to help us all understand the health insurance marketplace now that the enrollment period is underway. But first, this news update. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Obamacare is now in its third year. Sign-ups are underway. And despite challenges to the program, it remains the law of the land. Today, we're going to discuss how it has changed, who needs to sign up, who can sign up, what happens if you're not covered, different coverage options, and more. With me in the studio, Janice Deku is with Western Maine Community Action and is a Health Navigator Program Manager. And Emily Brostek is Executive Director of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And of course, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about signing up for the Affordable Care Act exchanges? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Emily Brostek, what is different this year?
Yeah, so we are now in the third open enrollment period for the health insurance marketplace, which is what a lot of people think of when they think of Obamacare or the ACA. And so in a lot of ways, things are becoming kind of old hat. They're becoming kind of routine. We're not seeing the dramatic website issues that we saw in the first year. So people who have been covered through the marketplace since 2014, this should feel pretty familiar to you. This year, we have the same health insurance companies selling plans on the marketplace. So again, Community Health Options, Anthem, and Harvard Pilgrim, just like last year. That doesn't mean all their plans are the same, though. So if someone who's looking at renewing a policy for next year or is maybe looking this year and didn't sign up before, should realize that the options may have changed. It's really important to see, you know, how have plans changed over time. Maybe the plan has a similar premium, but the deductible is different. Maybe the network is different. In particular, Harvard Pilgrim in the southern part of the state has a kind of a tiered network where there's certain providers that you can go to get really low cost sharing and others where you might pay a little more out of pocket. I guess the other thing that's different this year is, again, the fee for not being covered is going up. For 2015, if you didn't have insurance coverage or if you don't have insurance coverage at tax time, you may be paying 2% of your income or $325 per adult to cover that cost. And in 2016, that's going up to 2.5% of household income or $695 per adult. So it's quite a jump. And so, you know, if you've just been paying that fee and not being insured, this might be the year to really take a look at your options.
Well, most subscribers see their rates go up or down this year.
That's a great question. So last year we saw really minimal increases with the plans in the marketplace, and this year is pretty similar. So the rates didn't change a whole lot. I think Community Health Options, their plans on average went up by less than 1%. Anthem's plans went up by under 5% on average, and Harvard Pilgrim's plans actually decreased by a couple percentage points. But again, that's not the only thing that people should look at. Some plans where the premium might be similar, the cost sharing might have changed. And I would also emphasize that those are average rate increases. The individual plan you're signed up for might have a different rate change over time. So it's really important to look at your options and to work with a navigator like Janice and the people she supervises to make sure you're in the right plan for you.
And Janice, let's turn to you. I understand that most people in Maine who take part in the healthcare exchanges do qualify for a subsidy. How do you know if you will qualify for a subsidy?
So that is based on household size and income. So it's very individually based. So for example, with a household size of one, as long as you make at least $11,770 annually, you will qualify to look at plans on the marketplace. Anyone who makes between that amount and up to $47,000 most likely will get some sort of assistance with paying their premiums. That's called an advanced premium tax credit. Cost-sharing reductions also kick in for people, and using, again, the household of one, who fall between that $12,000 figure up to $23,000, will also see their deductions and their out-of-pocket expenses reduced somewhat. So it's in our minds, it's very important, regardless of whether you're newly enrolling or have enrolled and are looking at re-enrollment, to be active and check out your options. There are some great compare plans and prices, and you can do some calculations ahead of time. It does them for you when you enter the information.
If you don't have access to a computer with high-speed internet, or you don't feel comfortable doing this by yourself, there are healthcare navigators like you, Janice, all over the state, correct?
All over the state. And right now, the best way to find them is one of two things. Either call 211, because they know where all of our navigators and actually the certified application counselors are located. And we have an agreement with 211 that they will find the closest local help to the person who's calling. That's the kind of the fastest way to know that you're getting some choices with making the phone calls. And 211 will give you the phone number and the name of the person.
And working with a healthcare navigator is free, correct?
Absolutely free.
Okay. We have a caller who couldn't stay on the line, but I like what he had to say. He said he signed up a few years ago, and although the process was frustrating, he's been with the program, and it's going well. He says, stick with it. Emily, is that the experience of the folks that you're hearing from, that it is much smoother?
Definitely. The first year, we definitely had a rocky start with the issues on the website. But even then, most people who wanted coverage in 2014 ultimately got it, like it sounds like this caller did. And, we've seen here in Maine, and the data nationally shows us as well, that people are really happy with their coverage. People are getting good quality plans that are letting them get care that they need and that they can afford.
Are there frustrations, though, that remain that can't be changed unless the law is changed? You're nodding, Janice.
Well, one of the major frustrations is what we call the family glitch, and that is if any person in the family is offered health insurance through an employer, for example, and that insurance is also offered to their spouse or dependents, then they're not qualified to go on the marketplace to receive any help, any assistance with the premiums.
My understanding is if an employer, and tell me if this is not right, that if an employer offers health insurance to an employee but not to the employee's family, that employee's family is still not eligible for a healthcare exchange.
If it's not available to the employee's family, they actually could potentially go to the marketplace and get the financial assistance that Janice described. It's when it's offered, even if the family doesn't take it, potentially because it's very expensive to cover the dependents, that they get stuck in that kind of glitch.
So you can't shop your company's plan against the plans available on the exchange if the company offers one?
Typically, you can't. If the plan that you could get at work is considered unaffordable for the employee, which means it costs over 9.56% of your household income to cover the person who's working at that job, then that could make the whole family eligible potentially for help in the marketplace. I guess the other thing I would add is that pretty much anyone can go and comparison shop on the marketplace. The question is who qualifies for those tax credits that Janice described. And so, you know, a family member who's in this family glitch might decide to go buy a plan on the marketplace because it's the best option for them. But unfortunately, they're not going to get that financial help.
All right. Janice, I know it just opened yesterday, so you probably haven't had your navigators, have a good sample of how it's going this year. But what are you hearing from people coming into this enrollment period? What do people really want to know? What are they concerned about?
Well, actually, it opened on November 1st. So we have now roughly 15 days of experience. And what we're hearing is that people are coming to us for help with just wanting to make sure that what they're seeing is correct in terms of their subsidies. And earlier in the enrollment period, as has happened in previous times, there's been a few random problems. So one of the things, the messages I'd like to get out is if anyone has seen some sort of a number that they didn't expect, that they should go back in and or call us, get in touch with a navigator, and try again because they may see different results because some of those behind-the-scenes things that we identified really quickly have been fixed so that their results are going to be accurate.
And another resource I would just make sure to mention is Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. We run a helpline that's available Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. And so someone who maybe they're going through the application and something doesn't seem right, or maybe they're just trying to figure out, hey, do I qualify for this? What can or should I do? They can call us and just get a quick, you know, kind of pre-screening, and we'll help them get to where they need to go. And that phone number is 1-800-965-7476.
And we will also post that on our MPBN Main Calling Facebook page. I'm going to start with the phones now and go to Genevieve, who is calling from Portland. Hi, Genevieve. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I wanted to address what happens if you apply for coverage through the marketplace and the marketplace determines you qualify or you may qualify for Medicare. Then it takes many, many months for DHS to review and then finally deny. How does the Fed look at this gap in coverage time for penalties come tax time?
Yeah, so there is an exemption available for people who, you know, they've kind of been caught in between those two systems. If you have a pending application, you can get an exemption for those months when, you know, Maine DHHS was still checking to see if you're eligible. However, I mean, I'm sure that's been a very frustrating situation because you probably wanted coverage during those months and maybe could use it. So I would encourage you, if you're in that situation, to be sure to be diligent in calling DHHS and checking on the status of your application, trying to nudge things along. And again, you might want to reach out to our helpline or reach out to a navigator to see if there might have been a question that you answered on the application that kind of triggered that your application being sent to DHHS.
All right. Good luck, Genevieve. I'm going now to Alice, who's calling from Richmond. Hi, Alice. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and rebut this notion that people are getting good quality plans that give them access to coverage. What Emily's not addressing is geographic and age rating. I point out that the cap for a subsidy for a household of one, which is 27.5% of Maine's households, or one-person households, if you make $48,000, which is less than what the average public school teacher in Maine earns, you don't qualify for a subsidy. If you're a 60-year-old woman in Washington County, no subsidy. Your cheapest premium option will run you $679.80 a month for a plan with a $5,500 deductible. And age rating goes up by year. It's no longer by tier. It's more if you're 61, and it's more if you're 62. And the annual out-of-pocket, even after you've done your $5,500 deductible, is $6,000 850, I think.
And so this is the option for somebody who makes more than $48,000 a year?
That's for anybody who makes more than the $47,000 that was mentioned properly as the cutoff for a subsidy, which, again, I keep pointing out is less than what the average public school teacher in Maine earns.
Yeah, so Alice, I'm really glad that you called and mentioned this. As Jennifer said at the beginning of the show, you know, the ACA is the law of the land. The Supreme Court has clearly said at this point it's here to stay. And so what we need to do now is make sure that it's really saving money for consumers and making sure that they're getting affordable health care. And, it, you know, it's helping a lot of people, but it's not helping everybody, as you mentioned. And so what we are really calling on our leaders and policymakers to do is to take this seriously and work on making the law better so that it's working for everybody. And not frustrating some people because they still, this promise of getting affordable care still hasn't been achieved. Now, I know that doesn't provide a lot of comfort in the immediate moment, but I would definitely agree with you that that's where we need to go next. We need to make sure that people are actually saving money and getting care that they need.
Alice, thank you for calling. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number 1-800-399-3566. Again, that's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address is talk@mpbn.net. You can send us a tweet if you tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions about the Affordable Care Act and enrolling for coverage. Stay with us. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do MEMIC, a workers' compensation insurance company dedicated to safer workplaces, fair treatment for all workers, and a strong Maine economy. On the web at MEMIC.com. By Sweetser, helping adults, children, and families address mental health and substance abuse issues since 1828. Learn more at Sweetser.org. And the State Theater in Portland, presenting Ry Cooter, Ricky Skaggs, and Sharon White on November 18th. Tickets available at statetheaterportland.com.
Next time on The World, a Nepal vacation. Tourists avoided Nepal after the big earthquake, even though most of the country suffered little or no damage.
As a destination, the natural beauty of Nepal, the culture, these are permanent. They'll last forever.
But Nepal tourism is taking another hit from political troubles and a fuel crisis. Our reporter goes there anyway. Next time on The World.
Join us for The World this afternoon at 3 o'clock. If you're a regular MPBN radio listener, you've heard the following phrase more than once. Support for MPBN is made possible in part by, and then the names of local businesses and organizations. These groups know well the value of MPBN in our community, the benefit of association with our programming, and reaching you, the statewide public radio audience. They choose again and again to make public radio and television a part of their annual marketing effort. If you would like to learn more, visit mpbn.net and click on Business Support. There you'll find information about the value of sponsorship, answers to frequently asked questions, and contact information. Or just call us, 800-884-1717. Ask for Susan Tran. Thank you for your support of public broadcasting here in Maine.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, signing up for the Affordable Care Act and what your options are. With me in the studio, Emily Brostek. She is Executive Director of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. And Janice Dake, who is with Western Maine Community Action and is a Health Navigator Program Manager. We invite you to join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Send an email to talk@mpbn.net. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Emily, earlier in the last part of the program, we had a call from Genevieve, who's sort of in this no man's land right now, trying to figure out what she qualifies for. You had a thought about where she could go. Go ahead.
So I mentioned that she probably qualified for an exemption. And so there are different exemptions available that protect people in situations like this from having to pay any kind of fee for those months they weren't covered at tax time. Different exemptions, you go about getting them in different ways. So we can provide a link to that to post on the Maine Calling Facebook page.
Okay, and we will do that. I'm making a note right now. So anyway, we're going to go to Jim in Presque Isle. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hi there. A little while ago, I heard the comment that if you have one working person covered by their employer or whoever for medical coverage, the rest of the household would not be eligible for subsidized medical care. Is that what
No, they corrected me. That's not right.
Well, that probably eliminates my question then.
Well, the big question is whether the other people in the household could get coverage through that employer-sponsored plan. And if they could, then potentially that might put people in that kind of family glitch situation. If the plan isn't available to anyone else in the house, then the rest of the family could go to the marketplace.
Jim, does your employer offer family coverage or only individual coverage?
Be on retirement.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I'm under Medicare.
Okay. Yeah, if you have Medicare and the rest of your family doesn't, then they could certainly look at the marketplace as an option.
Very fine.
Great.
Okay, Jim, thank you. We're going to move on to Westbrook and Steve. Hi, Steve. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Two questions, sort of quick. One, I'm retired and income this year because of investments was negative. Does that qualify me for a subsidy? And my wife is going to be going on Medicare sort of mid-year. And how does one handle that with the ACA?
Janice.
So I'll answer the second part first, and that is that when there's actually a transition to Medicare eligibility, and you do want to make sure that you notify your insurance company that you are dropping coverage at that point, just to make sure that you're billed appropriately and covered appropriately. And there are navigators that can help you with that, or Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. And I would back up and mention that we have a very close working relationship with Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. Our navigators from time to time will actually call and talk to them about some of the more difficult situations. And then I've already forgot the first part of your question. I'm sorry.
I'm retired, and this year income is negative because of investments not doing well. Does that qualify me for being getting a subsidy or not?
So the subsidies are based on what you file for your federal income tax return. So, and we're looking at what you anticipate filing in for tax year 2016. As long as you meet the minimum guidelines, and this is where the issue of Maine not expanding Medicaid comes into play. If it's too low, then you wouldn't qualify for, or your, in this instance, it would be your wife, because you're on Medicare already. Is that?
She's a little older than I am. She's going to go on Medicare this year.
Oh, okay. So what you want to look at is, and it would be based on your household income with a two-person household. So you want to make sure that your income is at least $15,930 when you file your taxes in for the tax year 2016 in 2017. So I don't know if any of us have crystal balls to be able to calculate that, but that may present a problem for you.
I would just add, people don't always realize all the different kinds of income that count. And so Social Security income actually is counted as income when looking at your eligibility for the marketplace, even though it's not typically taxed. And so if that's an income that's coming into your house as well, that may potentially change your eligibility too.
Steve, thanks for the question. This brings up a question that came up last year and the year before too, that there are people who do not make enough money to qualify for a subsidy in Maine under the Affordable Care Act, because Maine has chosen not to expand the federal government in writing. The authors of the ACA believed that most states would choose to expand. Emily, do we know how many people are not able to get coverage under either Maine Care or the Affordable Care Act who don't make enough money for the Affordable Care Act but too much money to qualify for Medicare?
Yeah, so as Janice mentioned, eligibility starts at a certain point. So if your income is below that number, you don't qualify for any help on the marketplace. And for a household of one, that means that if you make under $11,770 a year, you're not going to qualify for any kind of help, unfortunately. And it's estimated that between 25 and 30,000 people are in that group. They're in this gap where they don't qualify for any kind of marketplace help. And most and don't qualify for Medicare either, because you only qualify for Medicare if you're a parent or you have a disability or you're a minor child. So if you are an adult who maybe has some health issues, is making some income but not enough, you might find that you are in this gap. Now, there's also people who can get a plan on the marketplace but may struggle with the costs of that plan. If Maine accepted the federal funding that's available to cover this population, they would actually be covered through our Medicare program at a higher, up to a higher rate than that $11,770. And it's estimated that 70,000 people would benefit if we accepted those federal dollars and covered them through public coverage through our Medicaid program. And many of those people right now who could get a plan on the marketplace, we hear from throughout the year because they have trouble with their premiums, they can't afford the cost of their medication, and they really would be better off if we were implementing the law as it was written.
And I'd like to follow up on that a little bit, and that is that both Consumers for Affordable Healthcare and our organizations that are navigators have put together resources for people who are in that coverage gap as a result of Maine being a non-expansion state. So reach out to us, and we can tie you into some things that they're not optimal, but they do help.
And one final thing that I would say before we leave kind of the depressing topic of the coverage gap behind us for now is that it's not too late for Maine to accept that federal funding, and there actually will be a bill in front of the legislature that's sponsored by Senator Tom Saviello that will consider, you know, different models for Maine to accept that federal funding, to do it in a way that's unique and meets the needs of our state. And so if this is something that's important to you or to people that you know and love, it's not too late for Maine to say yes to this incredible opportunity, and you can let your elected officials know that.
All right, we're going to head to Owl's Head and Evan. Hi, Evan. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? You guys in the interim answered a lot of my questions, but one that is kind of personal. Both my wife and I are soon to be self-employed. My wife already is, and I will be next year. Trying to do the transition from, right now I get employer-based healthcare. What is the transition from employer-based to the Affordable Care Act so that I don't have a gap in coverage? And do I estimate my income for the next year, or how does that work? Or I have three kids and a family of five. So
one of the interesting things that's on the marketplace now is you can go in and actually try and figure out month by month what you anticipate your income is going to be to come up with that total income for the year of 2016. And self-employed people in particular find that very useful. So as part of that process, the income that you know you have, you would enter that. So for instance, if there will be a partial year where you still have employment-based income, and you have certainty about that, you would enter that as job-based income. And then when you get to another, there are various ways of, and as Emily mentioned, other types of income, Social Security and that kind of thing. But if you say at a certain point in the application that it may not be an accurate estimate, then what happens is a special calculator pops up where you can go in and actually put different amounts each month. Some self-employment is kind of seasonally based, so you've got huge income and for a particular period of months, and then it drops off. So you can do a lot to kind of get as close to you as you can.
And Janice, if Evan estimates incorrectly and makes either more or less money than he estimates, what happens then? Is there a penalty under the Affordable Care Act?
Well, potentially there might be, but what we encourage everybody to do is come back to us, unless they're doing it on their own, but you can go in every month and kind of adjust where you're at so that you don't end up either having to pay back help that you received through advanced premium tax credits or get penalized because you didn't do it correctly. So,
yeah, and I'd also just add, you know, if it sounds like you might be making a change throughout the year, so maybe if you're someone who's in a job-based plan right now, but over the next year you know you're going to be leaving that position to focus on, you know, your own business full-time, you actually don't have to sign up during open enrollment. You can wait until the loss of your job-based coverage, and you can do that at up to 60 days before you know the coverage will end so that you know you won't get that gap in coverage that you mentioned. And so that's something called a special enrollment period. There's a number of life changes that people might go through, like moving, losing coverage that you had through a job, getting married, having a child, things like that, where you get to sign up outside of open enrollment. So it might be that you don't quite have to do something quite yet.
All right. Thanks for your call, Evan. We have an email from Isabel. She writes, I'm wondering about exemptions. Healthcare.gov does not take into account the amount of bills that a family has per month. We would not be able to afford health care due to our monthly bills. Is there a way around this, especially to avoid the penalty for 2016?
So there is an exemption available through the marketplace, through healthcare.gov, that's called a hardship exemption. And there's a number of different kinds of hardships that are considered. One of them is if you have high medical bills, and that's one of the reasons that you can't afford the cost of coverage, you can potentially apply for an exemption because of that. There's a paper application that you would have to download and send in. Unfortunately, it's not available online yet. And there's also kind of an other category under hardship. And so if it's different bills than medical bills, that might be something to look into as well. So those are some things I would look into. If you go to healthcare.gov and you type in exemption or hardship exemption, it should bring you to the form that I mentioned. I would also, you know, really encourage, and I'm sure that this is something that most people would agree with, but having some kind of plan is a protection from having huge bills in the future. So even though it might feel impossible to squeeze in another bill, you know, I would really encourage you to look at to see if you qualify for help. And if not, how much would like a very high deductible or catastrophic plan cost if it's available to you? Because then if somebody gets in an accident, someone gets a serious illness, you're not going to go bankrupt, which is most people in this country, when they go bankrupt, medical bills are part of the equation, unfortunately.
All right, on that, we need to take another short break. When we return, more of your comments and questions. The number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Please stay with us.
You make Maine calling possible, as do Casella, committed to increasing recycling rates while reducing residential trash and landfill loads through zero-sort recycling. Casella, giving resources new life. And Freemasons in Maine, supporting Maine Public Broadcasting's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine. As a programming note, Ted Koppel will be a guest on Maine Calling this Wednesday for the second half of the program. Maine Calling's topic that day is emergency preparedness. We hope you'll take part by either calling or emailing or tweeting or Facebooking us a question for Ted Koppel. That's again on the second half of Maine Calling this Wednesday. Also, as a programming note, we will be broadcasting The World and All Things Considered with all the latest on the Paris shootings, hostage taking, and explosions. That's coming up at 3 o'clock for The World and 4 o'clock for All Things Considered here on MPBN Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, answers to your questions about signing up for the Affordable Care Act. In the studio with me, Janice Deku is a health navigator program manager with Western Maine Community Action, and Emily Brostek is the Executive Director of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. We have an email from David in Harpswell. He writes, "Well, generally happy with his coverage, my young adult son has had some frustrations. Like many of his peers his age, his life is mobile, and he's moved twice this year from Vermont to New Hampshire to Maine. Each time he's had to change plans, cancel others, and make multiple phone calls to straighten out the problems with this process. Is there any hope that the ACA can make it smoother for people moving to other locations?"
That definitely is really frustrating, David, and so I feel your pain there. One thing that I would recommend, especially if your son is you know, primarily living in one state or maybe might use the family home still as his permanent address, is to look and see which plans are available that have a more regional or national network. There are several companies on the marketplace that sell plans that cover providers either in New England or nationally that at the same rate as many Maine providers. And so for someone who either travels a lot or might be kind of bouncing around between different states and maybe not landing on a permanent address in those states right away, that can give you a little bit more wiggle room where you're able to get care in where you move. Beyond that, it's just really being on top of it, and which I know is hard to get young adults who many times don't really want to sign up for coverage to begin with to do that. So that's the only advice that I can offer.
And I would commend your son for being proactive in this, because it is certainly important, and although frustrating, just kudos to him.
So we're going to head to South Portland, and Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess going to follow up on the last email question. I noticed that Harvard Pilgrim offers a plan or plans this year, in addition to Anthem and the Maine Community Health. And I've had Anthem the last 2 years, and it was a struggle to sign up originally, but has been great so far. But I'm finding when I travel or I'm trying to see a specialist out of state, they're out of my network. Which plans would be better for out of state or if you travel?
Yeah, so Community Health Options, their plans offer kind of a wraparound national network. And so they have providers across the country that you could potentially see at the same level as their in-network providers here in Maine. And Harvard Pilgrim has a regional network, so it covers other New England states, including New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. I'm not sure if there's some other states in there. So I would definitely take a look at those and try to make sure that you understand those networks and whether they would cover the specialists you might want to see or the places you think you might travel.
Okay.
If I could ask a follow-up, there's a new option online that you can plug in the provider's name, and it will say whether it's whether they accept a plan or not. How accurate is that?
Well, our hope is that it's very accurate, and if
okay.
it's
or
if
how, it, how often does it get updated? And
it's definitely a challenge and an issue we've seen, especially in other states and sometimes in Maine too, that provider directories aren't always accurate. And so you're right to question that. I would make sure to, well, I believe that that tool has a link that brings you to the insurance company's website. And so I would double check there for sure.
And one thing I would say is if you get that link that I'm thinking you might be seeing, it's being beta tested right now. And it only shows up every 1 in 4 applications because it's in that beta testing. So it is important to confirm with the provider themselves about it. But in theory, it is intended to be extremely accurate because they do a scrub every overnight to add or take away providers.
All right, Dorothy, good question. Thank you. Amanda has written in on email. She writes, "Please talk about the exemptions, impact, restrictions involved with the healthcare marketplace on union health care plans. If a union plan is unaffordable, does the exemption for the cost of a plan being more than 9.6% of income still apply?
Yeah, so for any work-based coverage, if it's going to cost the employee more than 9.56% of the household income to be covered, or if the plan is really bad coverage, if it has less than 60% of something called actuarial value, which is basically the average of how much that plan covers, then that opens the door to potentially a marketplace plan. So it shouldn't make a difference whether, you know, you're talking about a union plan or a small group plan or otherwise.
Great. We're going to go to Kenny Bunk. And Matt, hi, Matt. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've got two questions. My wife and I are semi-retired but below Medicare age. So we are considering acquiring the high deductible plan from ACA, and they're just paying out of pocket for expenses that we need, and we're both in reasonably good health. And our question is, A, if either one of us were to suffer a chronic or catastrophic illness, what would our ability be to change plans to a more comprehensive plan? So that's my first question. And my second question is, we plan on traveling the country perhaps for the next year or two or three. So what are our abilities to get care no matter where we are within the United States if we have a Maine-based plan?
Yeah, I'll answer your first question. Unfortunately, having a change in your medical need alone does not let you change plans within the marketplace. So you really want to kind of think carefully about what needs you might have and how comfortable you feel taking the risk that, you know, if something serious happens, you could end up having to pay a couple thousand dollars out of pocket. But if something else changes because of that medical situation, so I know you said you're semi-retired, if your income does change because of an illness in the family, then reporting that income change to the marketplace would open up an ability to change to a different plan, or if you moved, anything like that. With the need to travel or the fact that you're going to be in different places in the country, there are several plans, as I mentioned to one of the previous callers, that offer a national or a regional plan. So of the plans in the marketplace right now, Community Health Options has a wraparound national plan, and Harvard Pilgrim has a regional plan that covers other states in New England. So I would definitely take a look at those to see if those would meet your needs. Although I will also mention every plan is going to cover urgent and emergency care as in-network.
All right, Matt. Thanks for your call, and have fun traveling. We're going to go to Auburn and Steve. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I've been looking at the plans online and trying to pick one out, and kind of confusing and daunting. This is my first time in the system. And I was wondering, I'm having a hard time to find a navigator. And I've made a few calls and been referred to a few other numbers. They say that they're local numbers, but I'm reaching people out of state, and they're confused about how to help me as well. So I'm wondering if you have local advice on where I can go to help pick a plan.
So here is a number for you to call, and you will reach Western Maine Community Action's Health Navigator Hotline with this call. And we are actually scheduling appointments. We have three navigators in the Lewiston-Auburn area who will be able to help you, sit down with you, or even over the phone, kind of walk you through things, but help you answer the questions. So that number, toll-free number, is 1-855-806-7333.
And will I be reaching local people when I call this number, or they're going to set me up with a number to contact local people?
No, you will reach either me or Ashley McCarthy. We're both in work out of East Wilton, and we are the people that schedule the navigators in the Lewiston-Auburn area.
Okay.
There you go, Steve. Okay, so we have an email from Beverly. I've been told recently that Maine teachers who happen to be in a district with fewer than 50 employees will now have to go on the ACA marketplace instead of continuing in the MEA insurance plan. This also affects teachers who have retired from the school system. Current employees and retired teachers feel let down, and it has caused confusion
because we were all originally told that public school teachers would not be impacted. I'm concerned that there'll be a gap in my coverage as this plan covers me until September, and that will leave a gap. Can you help me and others with this? Have you heard about this, Emily?
I haven't. That's news to me. And so that I want to learn more about that for sure. But I'll speak to the concern about a gap in coverage. If you are going to be losing coverage before 2016 starts, you would qualify for a special enrollment period potentially right now or whenever that plan is going to end so that you could have seamless coverage. And so I would definitely reach out to a navigator or to our helpline and get help going through that system to make sure that you don't have any kind of gap and you know what options are available to you.
Okay, we're going to go to Cumberland and Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. My question is, if I were to retire, I'd like to retire at 62. And when my employer-based health insurance goes away, wondering what is included in your income to base whether you're what you're eligible for with the Affordable Care Act.
Kathy, that's a good question. We also have an email from Tom who says he wants to know if household income includes unearned income such as distributions from mutual funds and wages, mutual funds.
Yes, I believe it does, and I'd want to double check that. But basically, and again, it's line 37 of your 1040. And then you add the modified adjusted gross income is what you base it on. So if you take a look at what that line is, then you can have a fairly accurate picture of what's counted. So, and we do have a long list of what counts and what doesn't count as income, but I don't have that in front of me. And I don't trust my memory.
I actually do have a version of a list in front of me, so I'll just mention some of the more common ones. So wages, salaries, that definitely counts. Taxable interest, unemployment, business income, ordinary dividends, alimony received, rental income, and also those other kinds of income that don't typically show up in your adjusted gross income on your taxes, like your Social Security benefits, tax-exempt interest, and something that's much less common for most people, foreign earned income. And so a couple things that I would mention or highlight that don't count is that if you pay alimony, that doesn't count as part of your income. And also child support does not count as part of your income. And so again, you know, it's really, if you're trying to figure out how this is going to look for you, I would really recommend, again, calling up Janice and her very talented navigators or calling our helpline and really talking through your individual situation.
Okay, we're going to go up to Yarmouth and Louisa. Hi, Louisa. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I have a daughter who is turning 26 next month. She attends school in Canada, but her primary address is in Maine. She hopes to get a job in Maine next summer. So I'm not sure. My insurance agent said he wasn't sure she could get coverage because she's in Canada, even though she won't get health care there.
So that depends on whether she has established a residence in Maine. So if she still uses her home address as her residence, and if she is included on your family's taxes as a dependent or still files her taxes in Maine for months that she is here, potentially she could look at signing up for a Maine-based plan.
Very much.
Okay, and we're going to go to Woolwich and Walt. Hi, Walt, go ahead.
Hi, two quick questions. I'm self-employed, and so I have to guess what my income is going to be based on previous years. If at the end of a year of receiving tax subsidies, or tax credits through the marketplace, it turns out that I've earned less than 100% of the federal poverty level. What's going to happen to me? And number two, what would you recommend we say to our legislator or state senator if we want to tell them to support Maine accepting federal funds for Medicaid expansion.
Okay, Emily, you have about 40 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. So if you have estimated your income and the marketplace accepts your estimate for that year and it ends up being different, if it ends up going lower, you would actually get more in tax credits. And that includes if your income actually goes below 100% of federal poverty. And in terms of what to tell your elected officials, I would just say just reach out, let them know that this is an issue that matters to you and that it affects people in your community, including people who are have their own businesses and are trying to make that work. It's really important for them to hear about that experience.
All right. Well, you're the last call today, Walt. Thank you so much. And thank you to both of our guests today. Janice Deku is with Western Maine Community Action. And Emily Brostek is the Executive Director of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. Jonathan Woodward ran the board today. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our podcasts, by visiting mainecalling.net. The executive producer of Maine Calling is Jonathan Smith. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to look at efforts underway in Maine to address the issue of childhood hunger. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.